How many of you are thirsty?
Got some chocolate milk.
And some Oceanade Blue lemonade. But here's the deal. I don't want to waste the lemonade, and I don't want to use all of the chocolate milk on one thing. So I'm going to pour the chocolate milk into the blue lemonade, and you can just drink from that if you want chocolate milk. Does that sound appealing? I don't want to get rid of my lemonade. I got to hang on to it. But I want a little bit of chocolate milk as well. Well, Jesus Christ used a similar metaphor in Luke 5. It's a story told also in Matthew 9 and in Mark 2. In that story, some people come to him, most notably the Pharisees and some disciples of John. They come to him and they ask him, "Why don't your disciples fast?" And Christ answered them by saying that, of course, we don't go to a wedding and fast. We don't fast while we're with the groom. And then he gave two parables, not unlike lemonade with chocolate milk. He said, you know, you don't sow new material with old material. You don't pour new wine into an old wineskin because they rip. Okay? We're going to go to the example there in Luke 5, actually, because we're going to look at one verse, Luke 5 and verse 39. This particular verse doesn't, or this particular statement doesn't occur in any of the other examples, either in Matthew or in Mark. He says there, "No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desires new. For he says, the old is better." So today we're going to look at this statement, this scripture, and what it means, and what it means for us on this Day of Atonement, and especially as it pertains to fasting. This statement's always been a little bit weird, a little bit confusing to me, because we, in our contemporary age, do think of the old wine as being better, you know, the 20-year-old, 10-year-old aged wine. But at the time of Jesus Christ, and in fact, going back into the ancient world, it was not the old wine that was considered the best wine. It was the new wine. And if you look up new wine in your concordance, and you do a search on it, you'll find new wine associated always with celebrations, with things like the Feast of Tabernacles. I can list off various scriptures, Nehemiah 10:39, Proverbs 3:10, Hosea 4:11, Haggai 1:11. There's probably others. All of them talk about the joys of drinking new wine. So what these people are turning down then actually is wine that would be better than what they have. The other thing that's confusing here is, of course, the word better, which if you have a different translation, a lot of those translations won't use the word better. They use the word good. So the scripture would then read, "No man having drunk the old wine straightway desires new, for he says the old is good." The old is good as in good enough. I'm happy with what I've got. You know, it's significant that in John 2, the very first miracle that Jesus Christ performed was to make wine, to make new wine. They had the old wine, and then they used it up, and it was replaced with wine made from water. It was new wine that was better than the wine that they had before. You see, the Pharisees, to whom he was speaking here, were satisfied with the old wine. They were satisfied with what they had. I've got the law of God. I've got the temple. I've got the sacrifices. The law of Moses, actually. I'm good. I'm good. You know, if you want to give me something new, that's fine. I'm happy to pour a little chocolate milk in with my lemonade, but I want to keep on. I want to hang on to this old stuff. Pour the new wine into my old wine sack. On this Day of Atonement, it's good to think about what this means in terms of how we become truly atoned. Of course, atonement, it gets broken down into the word at-one-ment, just as we sang here at our last hymn before the sermonette here. at one-ment. How do we become at one with God? Let's go to John 10:30. It's a very short scripture, but the perfect example of being one with the Father, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ, who says here in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." How did he manage that? Let's go back four chapters to John 6 and verse 38. John 6 and verse 38. He says here, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." So Jesus Christ didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the Father's will. He surrendered his own will, his own self, to the Father, becoming a perfect reflection of God and of the Father. And then Christ gives us some similar instructions. Let's go to Luke 9 and verse 23. If we want to be like Christ, if we want to be at one with our Father, at one with God, then we must do something. Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus Christ instructs us, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So how do we do that? How do we do that on the day-to-day? Well, memory scripture, Galatians 2 and verse 20, the last scripture we'll turn to today. Paul talks about this, about how he is able to turn that denying of the self into action in his everyday life. Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me." So we put away the old man. We deny ourselves, and we live in a new self, a self that in which God himself lives in us through that Holy Spirit. We surrender our will to the Father, even as Christ surrendered his will. We don't hang on to the old wineskin or to the lemonade that is half drunk. On this day of fasting, we commemorate a process that began in the spring with the Passover, a commitment that we made to empty our own selves and to put God within us, to empty our own will and put God within us. And now we take a day here to empty our bodies of food, to take in no food, so that God can be our bread and our sustenance, so that we can live how dependent we are on God, or at least how we should be, even as Jesus Christ did, who had been in the glory with the Father, and then he humbled himself, and he came down to live among us. But even more importantly, in this context, he lived knowing that he was going to die. And we all live knowing that we're going to die. But do we live as Jesus Christ lived? Because Jesus Christ lived knowing also that his Father would resurrect him. He had that perfect faith, and he lived accordingly. If we really believe that God will resurrect us, then we should be living in the manner that God asks of us. We shouldn't be doing the YOLO thing, you only live once, because that's kind of hanging on to the self, because if this is all there is, then why not just please ourselves? But significantly, Jesus Christ, just before he died, went to the Passover, and he was drinking the wine, and he told them in Matthew 26 and verse 29, told his disciples, "I'm not going to drink any more wine, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it," significantly here, "new in my Father's kingdom." On Trumpets, we gave up our old bodies, our physical bodies in type, as we commemorate that, what this future event. And we took on new bodies, even as Jesus Christ did after his death and resurrection. Jesus took on new wine. He was no longer living in the old. That's how we can truly become at one with God. But there's one more thing. You know, we don't just pour out the old. Most of us wouldn't drink from a bottle that was once filled with blue lemonade, even if we'd emptied that lemonade out and then poured the chocolate milk in. We'd wash that bottle first. And so it is with Christ's atoning sacrifice. God washes us first, and in so doing, he prepares the vessel for the new being that we are to be, the new life that we are to live. And on this day that we reflect on our oneness with God and our dependence on him, let's also think about not growing complacent in the life that we currently have, in the old man that we were, in our old wineskins. Let us rather be new vessels full of new wine.